Next on BYUSN, with the Big 12 moving to 20 conference men's basketball games, which teams do we want to see the Cougars play twice next year? Riley Nelson's on the program. What's it like being in a QB battle? Who's his front runner? And how about that 4.5 win projection?
Which BYU players would have historically been a 99 in the college football video game? New BYU swim and dive coach Tamber McAllister joins us in Studio B. And Top 5 Tuesday features the top 5 BYU freshmen from the 2023-2024 season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, May 21st. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is amateur dietitian Jason Shepard.
Amateur is the operative word here.
Yes.
Eric Mika, fantastic tweet or post, however you want to.
I still say tweet.
I know, so do I. I think everybody else does too. It's just one of those things that will be forever there. He's tweeted out, just washed down a cookie with a Coke Zero and feel like my prime is on the horizon. Kyle Collinsworth could never understand.
No. Kyle eats clean, exercises constantly.
Okay.
Although Eric has been, what's the machine called in the way? It's like rowing or?
I don't know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but I don't.
After it.
Okay. Funny. Now, I know this is going to be in the episode, so it's not like I'm saying something that's not going to be broadcast anyway. But we recently did an episode of the Deep Blue podcast with Kyle Collinsworth.
Oh, I can't wait.
So obviously we were talking about his
Did he have a shirt on in the interview?
Yes, he had a shirt
Even
on.
Though it was audio.
Yes, but good. We were talking. I said, if you have one sweet, like what's the go-to?
Yeah.
He's a big Sour Patch watermelon guy.
Mm, I can see
now,
that.
Now, here's what I don't know. I didn't follow up. This is bad host. I don't know if that means
re-record.
Right now he eats those still.
Or like back when
in
he was
the day.
Like 14.
But like we bonded over the Sour Patch watermelons. They're
That's
delicious.
Good. They are delicious. And Eric Mika.
But the good news is
Eric Mika is one of us.
Yes, the Coke Zero nullifies the cookie, so you're fine.
Yeah, the zero.
Yeah.
You're good. Don't tell that to everyone around here, though. You're going to get your sweets.
A little more on that, by the way. Here's a little tease later in the show.
Oh, nice.
It's a callback.
My favorite is when you or Spencer or Dave or whatever tease, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I know what we're doing in the show. I have no clue. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Dallin Hall knocks it down. Blocked by Richie. What a block by Saunders. What a play. Trevendell with a great shot.
And the release into Richie in forecourt. Two on one.
Lobs it up to Boos. Who gives
it? Big 12 men's hoops. Scheduling news, let's talk about it. No, we don't know any more new teams, but we know about the conference schedule a little bit. Yesterday, John Rothstein tweeted the following. Tweeted, sources, the Big 12 will play its first league games of the 24-25 season on December 30th and 31st. With the conference going to a 20-game league schedule, each team will play two league games per week next season with no buys. So there's kind of three parts to this, Shep. What do you think?
Yeah, the no-buy situation was pretty interesting. And look, you're sort of hamstrung because you have to fit all of these games into a certain window. There are postseason tournaments and conference tournaments that those dates are locked in. Those are hard dates that you have to meet. So I guess if we had really thought it through, it probably would have made sense that if you're adding two more games, that probably means you're not going to have a buy. I guess the only way that changes if you start the season you know, a week early, which I guess, I don't know if it was
November
an option or not.
November 4th is the starting
date. But yeah, that's a bit surprising, especially when you consider the Big 12, just the Big 12, and how difficult of a conference that is.
Yep.
I would imagine everybody, probably when the bye came, was sort of exhaling a little bit. They get to catch their breath.
Yeah,
exactly.
There were two, where you just played one game in 1 week.
Yeah.
Twice.
That is a long schedule to play without any
weeks
breaks.
In the Big 12. Yeah.
That's a lot. That one surprised me a little bit. Yeah. What about you?
So first off, we're going a week earlier because last year was January 6th against Cincinnati. So December 30th and 31st. So one of those two, you start right before the new year. That'll be kind of fun just to get into that. We'll see if BYU has a home game or road game there. 20 games. We knew that this was going to happen from Basketball Media Day last year. 16 teams. It makes sense. If you wanted to go straight like 16, you weren't going to go fewer games, so you're going to go more. So that means you're going to play a team twice, five different teams. More on that in a moment. No bye seems hard logistically. It's just a massive grind, but also you just kind of have to do it. So it ups the ante. Like, it's already tough to play in the Big 12, as we talked about. And despite it being that tough, BYU finished in the tied for fifth last year. That was amazing. So I'm excited to see the schedule whenever it comes out. Last year it came out a little later, like September, which was like, we're playing in like 5 weeks.
Right.
Non-conference, and then and then conference later, right? But yeah, it'll be exciting to go around New Year's, and then we go into March, and then go to the conference tournament in Kansas City and whatnot. So I'm excited. Riddle me this: are the women going to 20 games?
No, the women are not.
They'll stay at 18.
Yeah, they and in fact, last year BYU's first conference game was on the 31st. So they were already starting that
because
they were their tournament is a week earlier than the conference tournament than the men.
Interesting.
So they actually started in this time frame last year. BYU was at TCU.
Is it a week earlier just to fit in T-Mobile Arena there?
Now that I'm not sure.
I forget if it's Center or Arena, the one in Vegas.
It's T-Mobile Center.
Center and Arena is Vegas. Because you couldn't have the same name. No one would know. Yes, they would. Kansas City and Vegas. That's interesting, too. I don't understand why the women wouldn't have the same amount of games. But the men, you're just trying to boost the net rating. So you have two fewer non-conference games, by the way, we've talked about. So 11. We think we know 7 of the 11, by the way. So we'll see when that schedule comes out. Those are two separate kind of announcements, by the way. Non-conference is one, conference is another.
The byproduct of the no bye week is I think it's going to put even more emphasis on your depth on your roster.
Sure.
Because as we've seen, injuries are a part of this, and BYU's gone through this, obviously, and that's obviously the focus of what we're looking at here specifically. But all these teams, when you're playing that much over that period of time, you're going to deal with injuries, and without a break, you're probably going to have to rely more on some of your bench guys and guys that need to step up from a backup role into a starting role to get through, or guys that aren't getting minutes maybe have to step into being a backup. So I think it's going to put even more emphasis on your overall team depth when you're adding two more games and without a break in between.
BYU was legit 10 deep last year. And then Trey Stewart, I think, was the 11th guy there. And he played into things. But you had 10 regulars, which was pretty deep. BYU's got 8 guys right now on the roster, period. Not just depth, 8, period. They have 5 Scullies, as we mentioned. They're actively recruiting as we speak. And they've been busy the last couple days, like we talked about. So, yeah, we'll see. By the way, last year, the Saturday-Tuesday thing, for men, what did you think of that? Because that was different from what we've had with the Thursday-Saturday conference.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
And it was a little different for you because you were traveling with the women constantly.
Right, and we would come home. We would go out and play on Saturday and then fly home Saturday night and then go back out. Like the trip to Kansas and Kansas State, we flew out, played Kansas State, flew home, and then went back out a couple of days later to Lawrence to play Kansas flew home.
Good to be a power team. it's not the same. I like that. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be a Saturday, Tuesday thing. And by the way, regarding TV schedules, last year, not expected from BYU. So they were on ESPN Plus quite a bit. I think BYU will be less on ESPN Plus this year because of how they performed last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see.
So you alluded to this a minute ago, and you said with playing 20 games, the way that this is probably going to work is you're going to play 5 teams home and home, and then the other 10 games will be determined somehow. We'll get into that as well. Yeah. But which 5 teams do you want to see BYU play home and home next year? What's the 5?
I don't feel super strongly about the 5, other than I obviously would like to play Utah twice. I think that makes total sense. It'd be weird if they don't. I would actually like to play Kansas twice. I think that'd be fun to guarantee that they are in the Marriott Center next year. We think they're going to be in the Marriott Center anyway because the one matchup last year was on the road. I would like Arizona twice. Because I want Arizona in the Marriott Center. I want to guarantee that they're in the Marriott Center. Arizona State, just regionally, I think that'd be good. We saw a lot of BYU fans Saturday out in Gilbert. They would show up in Tempe for that game. And then to meet Colorado, just kind of the new Pac-12 homies, just do that. They made the tourney. They had a really good team. You look at the final net, there was 25, top 25 KenPom team. To me, that would be good. There's a lot of tough And so you welcome that, in my opinion, with Kansas, Arizona, Colorado. Arizona State didn't have a particularly good year, but right. BYU played them last year, ironically enough, and beat them in Vegas, which, by the way, was BYU's best win last year actually NC State?
Look, a case like, can be made for
like,
it.
Like, at Kansas, I know, is, like, the answer. Don't get me wrong. But NC State went to the Final
Four,
based
off of how they finished the season,
BYU beat a Final Four team.
Yeah.
Not bad.
But the answer is Kansas.
Yeah, it's
this winning
it's Kansas. Well, they're playing for second. What's the second best win? NC State.
Okay, so you and I agree on three of the five.
Okay.
So I had also Kansas. I understand. To me, Big 12 basketball is Kansas.
Amen.
And if you have an opportunity to play in Lawrence and then have them return and play in your building every year, that's what I'm wanting.
Yeah.
So you and I agree 100% on Kansas. We also agree on Utah. And I feel, as strongly as I feel that I don't care if BYU football plays Utah, I feel strongly that in basketball, I like it. In football, I could care less. They could never play, and I'm totally fine.
Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh,
wow. I don't ever need to see them play each other in football again. That's me. I know I'm in the minority. It's fine.
That is the weirdest take that you have other than Solo was better than Rogue One.
I enjoyed it
that
better
one
than Rogue
is
One. Sorry.
Weird.
But basketball, I love this. I like the ability to play basketball. I also went with Houston and Baylor were the two that we differed on. And I love what BYU has sort of started with Baylor. I like that. It's, first of all, Baylor's a really good team. And I just kind of like those two teams having some sort of connection.
Yeah.
Houston, I could very easily take Houston or Arizona like you had.
Yeah.
But the reason that I went with Houston is...
Because Dave Rose.
Not because of Dave Rose, but... I want BYU to make sure they're playing in Texas as much as possible.
No. This has everything to do with the TJ Haas shot.
No,
it has nothing to do with that. I understand.
No, it has nothing to do with that. So I could take Houston out and Arizona in because they're top level basketball programs.
Yes, Arizona, by the way, is not top five preseason.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be in the top 10 or 15.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Houston is.
Yeah.
Woo.
And then you and I agree on Colorado. I like that. It's close. It gives BYU a rival.
Maybe Deion will be there.
Coach Prime will show up.
Yes.
What is the Rocky Mountain? What do they call it in football between Utah and Colorado?
I think it's I don't care or I don't know. Okay, games we think could happen based on last year. By the way, other games. We think Kansas is coming to Provo regardless.
Right.
I'd be shocked.
And I don't think you're getting home and home with Kansas.
I don't think
BYU is.
Why not? They have as good a chance as the other 11 that they didn't play or whatever. Why not?
But I think the teams that were previously in the league will get first dibs on home and home with the other teams that were in the league before the additions.
We'll see what their criteria is.
That's how I think it will go.
Source it. Just kidding. At Houston... probably, right? These were the one-offs that were going to reverse. Texas Tech in Provo, West Virginia in Provo, at TCU, at Cincinnati. They don't have to do that based on what BYU did last year, basically flip those, right? Since BYU played those teams once, and are they going to come to Provo and BYU will go there? We'll see, but I expect Kansas to be in the Marriott Center. That was the one last year where I was like, that would have been nice. But we didn't expect BYU to go in the fog and win, man. That was amazing.
I think we know... In all likelihood, at least...
Those are two different things. Hold on.
Okay, three of the five that will be home and home. And
Rocky Mountain Rumble?
There we go. Is it Rocky Mountain Rumble? Is that really what it is?
No. Okay. Was it?
Rocky Mountain Review? No, that's something completely different.
Yeah, I used to like that. That was great. That's slick.
So it's going to be... You would think it's Utah, Arizona State, Arizona. Those would be the teams that you face every year if you're going to go this regional geographic pod.
Well, will it in basketball?
I think that's what you're going to do to try and cut down on the travel.
I don't think they care that.
No, but I think that the groups that are clumped together, I think you're going to have those be for sure your home and homes.
I'm not sure anything's for sure in this space. Like,
I would love Colorado to be in that mix.
Sure. In football, they gave us the schedule for the next like 6 years.
Right.
So we know... BYU's opponents and year to year and whatnot. But in basketball, we don't have a sense of kind of what the model is there. And it's certainly different when you're playing 20 games. Like The Big 12 could stay in football. Oh, we're actually playing 10 conference games a year because we just want to get around a little more there. But in basketball, it makes sense. Do you like that it went to 20, by the way? It was already hard.
Yeah, I'm sort of – it didn't affect me one way or the other. I probably would have kept it at 18, but I don't have an issue with it at 20. Now, had I known that there was not going to be a bye week, I probably would have said, yeah, for sure, stay at 18 opposed to going to 20.
It makes me want the non-conference schedule to be even easier.
Right.
Like, BYU's, it's plenty tough right now. At Providence plus NC State, that tournament in San Diego, you got Purdue in that thing. And who was the other? Yeah, Arkansas, Notre Dame left, and Ole Miss. That's tough turning.
Right.
That's tough turning. Thanks to Colton Potter for the assist. Our question of the day is this. With the Big 12 moving to a 20-game conference schedule, which five Big 12 teams would you like BYU men's basketball to play twice next season? So Jackson Jones on X, Utah, Kansas, TCU, Houston, Arizona, the rivalries and the marquee matchups. TCU, obviously, there's a history there with WAC and Mountain West. At TCU, next year could happen. We'll see. But imagine Kansas, Houston, Arizona twice.
Right.
Those are six. Not just quad ones, we're talking elite. Top 15 teams in the country, if not top 10. It's crazy. Kramer, Holly on X. Utah, Kansas, Baylor, Arizona State, Oklahoma State. Is there any revenge factor for Oklahoma State of wanting them again twice because BYU lost that game on the road that last year? That was a tough loss.
It was a really big loss. Yeah, it was disappointing for sure.
By the way, Javon Small, their stud who went off in Provo in the loss, went to West Virginia. Intra-conference. It's going to be interesting. West Virginia got better, by the way.
It's certainly not like a rivalry with Oklahoma State, but revenge, yeah, you want to go in there and make sure that you take care
everyone
of business.
Everyone BYU lost to. I want them on
the revenge
schedule
tour.
Again. Yeah, well, you're playing everybody. It's just whether you're getting them twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. More explanation, sorry, from Kramer Holly. Utah, rival. Kansas, blue blood, plus Fog Allen. Baylor, semi-rival. That's a good way to describe it.
Sure.
Like the new Boise State football. Yeah. It's Baylor basketball. Arizona State / Oklahoma State, easier games. Are there easy games in the Big 12? If so, yeah, it's those teams. But teams change year to year. Oklahoma State, new coaching staff, we'll see, man. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, tune in Friday for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue special featuring stories from BYU basketball current and former players like Trevin Nell, Jeff Chatman, and Mike Hall. Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Riley Nelson talks about his front runner in the QB battle going through a QB competition and his 4.5 win expectation. Is that fair? Or is BYU going over, under? What does he think? This is BYU Sports Nation.
And guess who's there? Chase is on the case.
Jacob Robinson with the pick six. Martin still on his feet, bouncing it to the outside. Darius Lassen. Rewind that one and hang on to it.
Many, many more versions of those plays hopefully coming up this fall in LaBelle Edwards Stadium and across the country. Great to have you with us, Jerem Jordan, alongside Jason Shepherd. Who's your favorite long-haired BYU quarterback?
Long-haired BYU quarterback?
Yeah. There's only really one that
I was going to say. I can come up with one real quick.
And he is our next guest.
Yes.
As we welcome in Riley Nelson to the program, who famously had to cut his hair after he came in and beat Utah State in 2011. Riley, what's up, man? The hair's a little shorter now.
Yeah, no, you qualified as quarterback. I see some of the dudes out there and the lettuce hanging out of the back of the helmets these days. And I'm like, oh, what could have been? I don't even know if you could classify mine as long by today's standards. But that same thing could be said for a lot of things about the state and game of college football, not just the hair lengths.
Hey, I love when the hair is poking out of the helmet. I just think it looks great. And you would have been fine nowadays. You know what I mean? And you would have had NIL. You would have had, you went in the transfer portal before there was a portal. It all happened. But let's talk about the quarterback situation specifically at BYU. If BYU were to play a game today, who would be your starting quarterback and why?
It's really hard question for me to answer because I'm so distant from the evaluation, right? I wasn't in there in spring ball, but I was there on alumni day. I was able to catch a little bit of practice on another day. So judging off about a cumulative of one and like a third practices, from what it looked like to me, it's going to be Jake Retzlaff. I think the he showed enough promise in the the final four games or in his play towards the end of last year, and then enough command of the offense in spring without any significant challengers. I really didn't see anybody who was right there. You can feel it, right? Like when there's a QB battle, an intense QB battle, and the team really doesn't know like who the guy would be, you can feel it when you step on the field in practice. It did not feel like that in my very small exposure to spring ball. It felt like it was Jake's job. Obviously, you got Bohannon, who was kind of new, but the sense around him was like, dude's built like a brick house, like all these things, but the command of the offense isn't there. He needs more time. Maybe he's got a chance to really give Jake a run for his money in the fall, but you're starting game one. It's Retzlaff.
Riley, you obviously know what it's like to be in a quarterback battle and to go through that. Can you kind of explain what that's like to be in the middle of, and every day you're going out there trying to prove yourself? Take our fans through what that's like to be a part of.
It was a tremendous growing experience. I mean, it takes over your entire world. Like, I'll say that. Like, when I was a starter, like when I was observing Max, you'd get in, or but before position meeting started, 15-20, you get the script early, but you'd kind of review it, you go over it, and maybe you'd have one or two questions or whatever, versus when you're in a QB battle, you want the script the night before. You're like calling the GAs as soon as the script's done for that next practice, so you can get your hands on it. You want an advanced copy. You're going in, you're reviewing all of your notebooks about, each of those plays and the formations and the calls. You're going back watching film of yourself from when you run those plays previously, mistakes that you made, so you don't go into that practice and make those mistakes again. The second practice is over. Again, the difference between being like the guy and being in a QB competition. Before you even shower, you go back up to the room and thank goodness for the video guys, right? But most oftentimes they wouldn't have it all labeled and everything, but they'd have practice up there and you'd watch every single rep, what you did right, what you didn't do right. And again, not to try and like repeat and compound, and it just totally engulfs you, which in some ways that's good because it makes for extreme levels of progression in a short period of time, but it's not sustainable over the long term. So once you do earn the right to be, the starting quarterback, you have to pull. It's like a car running at high RPMs. You have to shift it down a little bit, otherwise the engine's going to blow and do that. But it was one of the most intense and at times tense, right, as far as like talking about relationships and in the locker rooms and meeting rooms and things. Not always. It's not like a bunch of side-eye glares or, that kind of ominous type movie music going on. I think sometimes people think, for the most part, the team is able to still have fun. You're still able to build camaraderie. You're still able to do that. But the football part is intense, and there are times where it can, strain relationships. But that's all part of it, in hopes that at the end of the day, as a quarterback, you emerge as the guy who gets the honor of taking those snaps for your team and performing.
And if it is Jake Retzlaff, I'm convinced that Gary Bohannon's going to start at some point, and who knows, maybe somebody else. In this day and age, with the two I's, as I call them, injuries and ineptitude, you got to be ready. You were.
Man, Max took with him a lot of things. The record for most wins is a BYU starting quarterback and a lot, but he also took like what seems to be the days of a starting quarterback playing all, 12 or 13 games, right? John was able to do that his junior, senior year. Max did it all his 3 years as a starter. And guys, if anybody knows a good witch doctor out there, I would be willing to go down there.
They're big on that around these parts.
Yeah, right. Do whatever we got to do to like remove the curse, because it kind of went me. And then of course we all know Taysom, had all of his struggles, and there was a brief stint there where Zach was able to kind of stay healthy during that COVID season, but then Jaron had his nicks and bruises and cuts and bumps, regardless, everyone's got to be there. I mean, you look at the kid transferring in from Utah State and Hillstead, that by all his comments, or at least the snippets that I've seen around media and social media, is like he has every intention of coming in and compete, for him to get an opportunity to play. And so it's the tough thing about being a quarterback is one dude plays, right? If this were any other position room, there'd be younger guys working in the rotation. Everybody, you know, maybe you'd get different personnel groupings or different sets or different calls in a defensive set or whatever. And the two or three guys that you think are worthy of playing would all get a chance to prove it actually out on the field. The tough thing about quarterback is it all has to be proved on the practice field and in the meeting rooms and in the locker rooms, and then you just hope for the best because you only trot one guy out there on Saturdays. Now, I'm saying that actually wasn't the case in 2010 for diehard fans who remember. We can all just go back to switching off every series or every third series or quarters or halves. Let's get creative with it.
Riley, Vegas has BYU's win total for the upcoming season set at 4.5. Is that fair? Do you think that's fair?
I'll say this, for all those who participate in these activities, just remember those winnings are considered your increase, which means that we all should be paying appropriate tithes on those winnings. I mean, come on, guys. You start off with Southern Illinois, SMU, and Wyoming. Like, just on program strength alone, how does BYU not pick up three? Which means that you're telling me a team last year that halfway through the season was averaging 2 yards a carry, a team that went through multiple quarterbacks, a team that had all the ups and a team that was second to last in sacks, you know, had like a defensive line that was like at best neutral. And most of the days you're wondering like where they are, you know, where they're at. You know, they ended up on a team with all those question marks and all those glaring response had 5 wins. And oh, by the way, if it weren't for a 14-point swing on a pick six against Oklahoma, and they had their chances pushing Oklahoma State to overtime the last game of the week. I mean, there's a sixth and a seventh that the ball bounces a little bit differently there on a team that had significant deficiencies, which, you know, there's no guarantee that you are able to plug those holes. But I do think Coach Satake, and with some of the coaching changes that have been made both last year and this, there's reason for optimism. And so that's why I'm doubling down on saying, you know, anybody that places that wager, remember to take that increase and carve out 10%, because it all goes back to support.
Hey, church doesn't want gambling money and tithing. So there you go. That it is what it is. Okay, so are you saying you think it's not just about getting six, that there may be like a 7-win regular season up for BYU?
Yeah, I mean, these early preseason win totals are anybody's guess, especially now when you've got, you know, I don't know on average what percentage of the roster turns over, but you've got significant roster turnover percentage. And keep in mind, I'm not just talking BYU. I'm talking about what's going on at these other schools, too. The chemistry, like, chemistry means a lot. And the way that guys clicks and personalities and coaches and position rooms and players within those position rooms, like, a lot can swing from one season to another in today's college football environment. So I'm not just saying, like, you look at like a TCU who just completely, and I apologize, guys, I haven't memorized the schedule, but like, let's say they were on this 2024, you know, we went down to Fort Worth and just absolutely got like, that game was uncompetitive from about 13 minutes left in the first quarter, right? It was obvious to see, but you never know what's going down at TCU. You never know what's changed in their environment, where they're, you know, their key players and things like that. So just from year to year, it's so hard to project what guys can be, but I'm just saying on program strength alone, how does BYU not pick up, you know, how do they not pick up at least 3 wins in the preseason? Then you're saying they can't, talking about beating the 4.5, you're saying that they can't like somehow manage 2 conference wins on a team that hopefully is taking strides of improvement from last year? I mean, it just feels a little bit nonsensical. It feels like a little bit of a low blow from Vegas, but I don't know. You know, I'm talking about paying tithing and contributing on that side of the coin. We all know that those Vegas odd makers have made a deal with the guy, with the boss on the other side. They always tend to be a lot more right than they are wrong. So who knows? But for me, I'm taking the over. I'm to your point, Jerem, I'm thinking we take that step forward, at least to ball eligibility. And like I said, you look at those Oklahoma and Oklahoma State games, ball bounce, you get a couple ball bounces in your favor, and you're already to 7 wins last year. I don't think last year's win, I think if they were 7, that would have been a little bit of a paper tiger. I don't think they were a 7-year team. But if the improvements are made on the offensive and defensive lines, I think they've gotten better as far as weapons on the outside. if Retzlaff can continue to build, not just be the same guy he was last year, build on the player that he was last year, and then you're kind of neutral at the other positions, but you've got young guys like LJ Martin. Anyway, I'm rattling off a lot of reasons for optimism, which I think is our special as Cougar Nation, but to me, that's what I'm looking for is ball eligibility, and I think is probably what this team is built to be. And then, like I said, you get a couple balls bounce your way, and you could be up into 7 wins. A really, really miraculous is too strong of a word, but a really, really strong season, be 8-4.
As tough as it was last year, maybe BYU, yeah, gets over the hump and isn't just bowl eligible. Maybe there's another win there. We'll see. SMU's pretty good, man. 11 wins last year, and that's a road game in non-conference. At Wyoming, this is a game you played in 2009, I remember, because I was there in Laramie. I don't know why, but I was there, so I'll try and avoid it this year. But, Riley, we appreciate the time, and thanks for coming on, as always.
Thanks, Riley.
Always a pleasure to be on with you. Thanks.
Riley Nelson, bringing it, as always. Those are some good points.
Yeah, I'm picking up what he's putting down. And
we all want
here's
it,
what,
right?
Here's what I'm just going to tell BYU fans. If you start to get discouraged, just go back and rewatch this segment because I love what he was saying.
Yeah.
And he's right. All of those things should certainly be in play. And I think we all hope that BYU shatters this 4.5 that Vegas
Please,
has put BYU
at. Regular season.
Yes, yes.
We did discuss yesterday, though, we think the schedule's a little harder. So that's like not things aren't all equal in a vacuum for last year's team to this year. But as tough as things were, it'd be nice if BYU could just a couple wins here and there that they didn't get last year. Let's go.
7 or 8 wins. I will take that.
8? Let's go.
Let's go.
All right.
If you miss any interviews, trending topics, deep blues, or any other BYU Sports Nation content, you can always find it on BYUSN.com.
Pictures of Spencer in goggles and me in a football helmet looking like a freshman who's never been in the weight room. Coming up, which former Cougars would be a 99 in EA College football, and what would a BYU-style hot dog look like in Big 12 Eats? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Until it's somehow banned. Not yet, though. We're good. Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy's Jason. Let's get to today's headlines.
All right, we were talking about it. We got some Big 12 men's basketball scheduling news. John Rothstein of CBS Sports reporting that each team in the Big 12 will play 2 games each week with no bye week, with the conference moving to a 20-game schedule. Rothstein also reported that the first league games of the season will be played on December 30th and 31st this year.
ESPN's Bill Connolly released his updated post-spring ball SP Plus rankings this morning. BYU dropped 2 spots, number 67 overall, 13th among Big 12 teams. We will complain about that tomorrow.
The Big 12 announced the conference awards for baseball yesterday, and 4 BYU players received honors, with Cahillo Aloy being named to the all-freshman team. Relief pitchers Stone Cushing and Mason Olson, as well as catcher Colin Reuter, were named as honorable mentions.
So much honor. Swimmer Jordan Tiffany qualified for the Olympic trials, the 100 fly over the weekend, clocking a time of 53.39. He was in Tempe, just down the road from us. Tiffany joins Brad Prolo and Mickey Strauss, who have already qualified for the trials, which will be held June 15th through the 23rd in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. They, like, bring in
a pool?
Pools, yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know they
Wild,
could do
right?
that.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Head coach Jennifer Rockwood and BYU Women's Soccer announced the signing of Utah Tech transfer midfielder Savannah Hansen yesterday. Hansen scored 1 goal in 3 seasons with the Trailblazers.
Shout out Springville coming home. And 4-time All-American volleyball player Gabby Garcia Fernandez made his first USA Volleyball Nations League roster. He's going to compete in Turkey starting tomorrow over the next 5 days with the United States. He had to sit out 2 years after moving his affiliation from Puerto Rico to the United States.
And this news piping hot, by the way, just in the last 5 minutes.
Hot
women's
stove?
Not baseball. It is women's basketball. Announcing the signing of 6'1 forward Kendra Gillespie. She was at Arkansas State last season, and before that, 2 years at Baylor.
Yeah, that's one of several signings for women's hoops. They've been busy in the portal.
Very busy. I'm excited with the talent that's coming.
Yeah.
It should be a fun season. It really should.
Some good core coming back with some new signees. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Round is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Okay, Oklahoma State running back Ollie Gordon is reportedly a 99 in the new College Football 25 video game.
Nice.
Which BYU player or players do you think would earn the 99 historically?
Well, it has to be someone who had a great season and is coming back. If you're going to the NFL, they don't include you in the next year's game, right? So how about McMahon after the 80s season?
Yeah.
First 4,000-yard passer in NCAA history. Of course, Steve Young, who took second in Heisman after 83, although he left, so he doesn't count, so never mind. Ty Detmer after 90, because he came back for 91, right, his senior. And then had Luke Staley come back, I think he could have been a guy that after winning the Doak, he was amazing, 8 yards a carry, could have been considered. So the two that came back, McMahon and Detmer.
See, McMahon for me, no-brainer. That's the first person I thought of. And then Detmer.
Yep.
Those are the two that I would throw in at 99, especially with Detmer winning the Heisman and all that good stuff. That's, to me, those are the two. But absolutely, first person I thought of was McMahon.
Along those same lines, College Football Network posted this graphic of the top 10 teams that were not included in the college football video game from 2014 to 23. Didn't have the game, right? The 2020 BYU team was number 10 on the list. Is that the team you'd like to play as the most from the last 10 years?
Do we get to play Coastal Carolina again?
Yes.
Because if we get to play, speaking of the revenge tour,
yes.
If we get that game back, then yeah, I'm playing that one.
You know we're playing that this summer, dude. And we're going to just create Dax Milt, and he's going to get in the end zone this time. I would have loved to have seen 2016.
That was the other one I thought of.
Team that lost four games by a combined 8 points, so yep. You needed 12 points to go undefeated. That was a pretty good team, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, a report came out today that college football could be moving to adopt a June signing period, making the entire month of July a dead period, and then also advance the December signing period from that month's third Wednesday to the first. So some possible changes with the signing in college football. What are your thoughts on this?
Football scoop on this. I love the June idea. You do need the December because you want to get some kids in January for spring ball and in school. So I would actually welcome that. I don't understand the point of the February one right now.
No, I have no problem pushing it. And quite frankly, it gives you a little bit something added in the summertime when, you know, everything's going year-round anyway.
For this show, that'd be great.
Yeah. So yeah, I have no problem with it at all.
Talking to Gennaro Guilford on Saturday, that dude's in like four cities this week. He's out recruiting hard. Let's go. BYU Tickets posted this a few minutes ago. Update at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Grass is looking beautiful. Remember they redid it?
Yep.
Finishing touches on the sideline turf installation. New light project continues. That's news to me. First event on new grass will be Stadium of Fire. What do you think?
First thing that comes to my mind is I wish my grass looked that green.
Hey, put down the IFA 1, 2, 3, 4 at the right time. Maybe
it looks amazing, and I cannot wait to see the BYU football players on it.
I might wander over there and look at it today. It looks awesome, man.
All right, speaking of baseball, who we were talking about, Big 12 Eats is back at the Big 12 Baseball Tournament. But this time, it's hot dog themed after the participating school. So, since BYU did not make the tournament this year, they were not included. But what would be a BYU-themed hot dog?
Just straight J-Dog. Give me special sauce. Give me mayo. Touch of mustard. Banana peppers and some celery salt. That's my...
Okay, here's my callback that I talked about at the beginning of the show. Yep. Okay, I'm gonna lean into every stereotype of us, okay? The bun is a cougar tail.
Okay.
The hot...
Little drama there with the basketball tourney.
The hot dog is soaked in either Diet Coke or Coke Zero.
Nice.
And it's topped with your favorite ice cream.
With ice cream?
That is it. Done. All
with
the things we love.
Satake Road. Or this show's ice cream. Blue
would
goggles.
You eat that, by the way? What I just put out there, would you
the
eat that?
The ice cream's weird, but the rest
a little
of it,
savory, maybe. Some sweet.
Yeah, but the ice cream is, I don't know, it's getting all, the bun's getting all soggy from like 3 minutes to it. It's like when you go to Taco Bell, I love Taco Bell, but you gotta eat that taco within 4 minutes.
Oh yeah, or yeah, otherwise no, it's not worth it.
Crumbling.
Probably not worth it anyway.
Yes it is. Coming up, the new swim and dive coach at BYU, Tambor McAllister, talks about the new direction of the program and Cougars at the Olympic trials. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on this Tuesday. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepard. Fun fact, Shep swam in high school. What were your events?
I was freestyle.
Freestyle, of course.
Look, I like my swimming strokes the same as my rap. I like them freestyle.
Yes, you do. Go ahead and send us. Oh, okay. No. Speaking of the pool, let's talk with the brand new head coach of the BYU Cougars, Tamber McAllister on BYU Sports Nation. Welcome to the program, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me here.
Congratulations on the hire. You've been an assistant for a long time. You swam here. What's it like to be the head coach?
It's a dream come true for sure. I, you know, grew up swimming. My mom was a swim coach, so coaching was kind of in the cards. Yep. And I wasn't the typical BYU family. My parents, neither one of them went to college, didn't really talk a whole lot about college or BYU. And so the fact that I ended up here swimming, that kind of drove my love for BYU. And now everything's BYU at our house. So
we were talking during the break. You're from El Dorado Hills.
Yep.
Which is also where the Colleys are from.
Yep.
Of course, dad Scott played here, and then son Zach, Austin Dillon.
Yep.
So same high school and everything.
Yep. Which is cool. Good friends of the families. They were in our ward growing up.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So because you swam here and you've been here as an assistant, and how much did that help in terms of coming back and taking over the program? How much did that help the overall feel of taking the job and sort of jumping right into it?
I think that it helped for sure because I've seen the program progress over the years, and it's evolved from, you know, I started coaching only women back when Stan Crump was the women's coach, and then they combined the programs, and you know, having a passion for your alma mater is huge. You know, being able to come back to the place that you love and you have deep feelings for this university, and I'm excited to continue to, you know, push the program to new heights.
So. We've seen some great stuff from the team and individuals this year, notably a couple guys that we've had in studio, Jordan Tiffany, Brad Prolo, Mickey Strauss, a couple swimmers, diver in there. These guys are going to try and do their best at the Olympic trials coming up as well.
Yeah, they are. And it's been fun to watch. You know, I was here when Brad started as a freshman before I left and went down to Dixie State at the time. And, you know, he's come a long ways. He's really improved. He's one of those guys that day in and day out, you know, is pushing himself every single practice. And so it's fun to see him do that. And Jordan just qualified this last weekend. That was an emotional celebration with him and his mom. And fun to be a part of, for sure.
We should have gone over there. We were in Gilbert doing a fan fest, and
we were in Tempe, right? Yeah, we were going to come to Fan Fest, and it just didn't work out with the timing of the meet. But
yeah, I saw that, and I was like, wait, we should have gone over there. Like 10 minutes away?
You just wanted a cannonball, be honest.
It was very hot outside. That would have felt great.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Overall, what is the state of the program? Give us an overarching look at the program in general.
Yeah, you know, we've had amazing head coaches come before me, and I was able to work with Stan Crump in the women's program, Tim Powers when they combined it, you know, John Brooks and Sherry Scablin. So they've laid a great foundation for our program. And here we are moving into the Big 12, and we have a lot more opportunity to continue to improve. And the state of the program is at a very high level. You know, this year we had a large team represented at NCAAs, which was the first time in a very long time that we've had more than a handful, you know, and so that was a lot of fun. And so, you know, we just want to continue the momentum forward.
I occasionally make it out to the pool, mainly for Girl Dad Camp.
Yeah.
We swim right
awesome.
In there, which is awesome, one of the rotations. The pool got renovated a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. How is the pool, and how does your team best use a new pool like that?
Well, it's nice. You know, back before they renovated it, we had to stagger practices. Because
wasn't big enough?
Yeah, it wasn't big enough to fit everybody on the team. And so now the renovation holds the whole team very generously. We're able to spread out and have the space that we need to be able to push ourselves in practice at a high level so that they can, you know, imitate the competition. So,
how would you have described year one in the Big 12?
You know, I think it was pretty exciting. Lots of excitement from team members. They were very impressive, I would say, at the Big 12 championships. I think that they could have taken a timid approach, and they didn't. They showed that they're there to compete and, you know, push for a championship, hopefully, in the future.
You helped take Utah Tech to D1 swimming.
Yeah.
Any principles from kind of that experience that help you and kind of BYU in this Big 12 year two coming up?
Yeah, I think just the mental side of, like, there's a lot of unknown as you progress and change as a team, whether that be from Division 1 or 2 to Division 1, or, you know, MPSF for us to Big 12. And, you know, we saw some of that hesitation at Big 12s last year. And so just making those adjustments, just like we did, I did at Utah Tech, and giving the confidence to the athletes individually so that they can move forward and be the best that they can be.
One of the very prominent changes over the last couple of years in collegiate athletics has been the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. And we hear a lot about it specifically in football and basketball. How is the transfer portal in your sport, in swimming and diving? Does it play a major role?
It does. I mean, I would say that it does, depending on, you know, the coach. We don't tend to lose a lot of our athletes, you know. Once they come to BYU and we kind of embrace them in our family, they don't want to leave. So, you know, that's a huge selling point for our recruits coming in as well, knowing that, you know, we're creating an environment that they want to be at. So,
where are you hoping to take the program, and what's the culture you're hoping to instill here?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And, you know, we've made a run this last year, and we want to continue the momentum moving forward. We want to be nationally relevant on a year-to-year basis, you know, continuing to come back with a large team. You know, our men's team tends to get a little bit more of the hype, but our women have come a long ways, and we have a huge incoming class this year. We have incoming freshman Lucy Warnick, who's also Olympic trials qualifier, so she'll be there competing. And so we've come a long ways on the women's side, and they're just quiet and going about their business, and I think that you'll see big things to come with them as well.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on the trials coming up in a couple of weeks in Indianapolis,
yep,
which is awesome. I don't know how they do it in Lucas Oil Stadium, just bring in the pools.
It's pretty awesome. If you go to USA Swimming on Instagram, they'll do like a...
Like a time lapse.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And it's really cool to watch. They've just started building the pool last week, so nice. It'll take them a good amount of time, but it's a pretty huge stage. They have fireworks in there. It's a show.
That's
it's
great.
Really a great time, and something that, you know, Jordan and Brad will never forget.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. So. Well, Tamper, we appreciate you coming in, and best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All right, check out the latest Her Why podcast featuring Whitney Johnson Catt, who's the Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete Development, Diversity, and Inclusion at BYU. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
She's so good, that's her second podcast on BYU Radio. Because I did one with her back in the day on the Deep Blue podcast.
There you go.
She's that good! After the break, the top five freshmen this season at BYU, and who gets today's Elite Voice of the Day. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Time for Top 5 Tuesday, presented by eAssist Dental Health Foundation, reminding you dental cleanings are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org. The top five freshmen of the 23-24 season.
We start with number five, Mia Lee of women's volleyball, led BYU with 124 blocks. She was fourth in kills with 147, third on the team in hitting percentage, had a career high 11 kills versus the Kansas Jayhawks and 11 blocks versus Texas Tech, was also named to the Big 12 all rookie team.
Jumped right into the starting lineup out of Mountain View High School. Number four, Amari Whiting, women's basketball, starting point guard in BYU's first season in the Big 12, third leading scorer at 10 a game, led the team in assists and steals, second in rebounding to Lauren Gustin, which is pretty good. Everyone's playing for second in that. 14 points, 9 assists, 8 boards, in an upset win over number 18 Baylor, Amari Whiting, baller.
Number three, Kahio Aloy from BYU Baseball, hit 269, 53 hits, 9 doubles, 8 home runs, 38 RBI, which led BYU, finished top three among freshmen in the Big 12 in home runs and runs batted in. Aloy, as we mentioned earlier in the show, was named to the Big 12 all-freshman team.
Number two, Jenna Hutchins, track and field and cross country. First team all Big 12 in cross country this season. Helped lead BYU to the Big 12 championship, took sixth overall, took first place at the BYU Autumn Classic. Four first place finishes this season in cross country.
And number one, Kaylee Woolston from women's basketball.
Sister.
Averaged 13 points a game, second on the team, led the NCAA in three-point percentage and made 81 threes, which was 35th most in the country. She scored 10 or more points in 24 of the 32 games, career high 26 at Kansas, including a career high 6 made threes. She was named all Big 12 honorable mention. As you mentioned, Jerem, now getting ready to serve a mission in Baltimore.
Yeah, she's a baller, man. Our question of the day, with the Big 12 moving to a 20-game conference schedule, which five Big 12 teams would you like to see the men's hoops play twice next season? Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, Steedy Wonder on X, and a superstition. I would choose our regional partners, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and then add Kansas. I didn't know they were partners. That's great. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Congrats to Jordan Tiffany for qualifying for the Olympic trials over the weekend. That was awesome. Our thanks to today's guests, Riley Nelson and Tamber McAllister.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. For Jason, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Jasmine Moody. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs!